I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer, and today is the longest day of my life.
Welcome back to the Bauer Hour Podcast. My name is Ty. Joining me, a man on the far side of the room, it's Mr. Badway, but in a very, very good way. Sir, how are you?
Doing very well, very well, very well.
Joining us tonight from St. Lucia.
Yeah.
Well, he's not here, but he did send an email in.
He's here at Spirit.
Drew will be joining us here momentarily. We've got an email from him. He was able to watch, somehow able to watch this episode and previous episodes from the beautiful island of St. Lucia on his honeymoon.
I don't know what kind of... Well, that's dedication that I haven't seen in such a long time.
Like, and as always, tonight this show is dedicated to a fallen cast member. Tonight, who are we going to give it to, Badly?
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed.
Poor kid never stood a chance. Although he did show some sweet moves. I mean, he defended himself.
He knew what was going on, yeah. Didn't he?
He did.
He knew Navarro was up to no good.
Figured it out pretty quickly, and it would have been a much quicker death had it been a better secretive op.
So here's the situation that Steve Navarro now finds himself in. By the way, 24, episode 9. We've only got 3 left.
Flying by.
Things are tying up quite nicely. Steve Navarro, he's up to no good. He's in deep with Adrian Cross. He clearly has some evidence that can link him back to some sort of conspiracy. A conspiracy, by the way, that we are still learning about as this show progresses now through the last 3 hours. He sends a guy to knock off Jordan Reed, gives Jordan Reed the opportunity of a lifetime, right? Pretty much a lackey work in a white-collar desk job. Hey, man, you want to go out in the field?
The field?
Want to pick up a dead drop for us here?
Oh, yeah.
Jordan's all about that, man. He's all about that shit. Gets the opportunity. Guy starts throwing bullets at him. He takes one in the shoulder, tries to run away. The henchman gets him, but he also gets the henchman. Now, Kate's... Have we established what kind of a police contact this guy is? Like, the guy with the beard who didn't want to do work for her earlier?
I don't know. See, to me, he has the look of, like, a dirty cop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know how they do things down in England, but to me, maybe it's the trench coat, the beard. I don't know.
He finds Jordan Reed and this henchman dead in, like, a back alley warehouse or somewhere like that. They start putting the pieces together. Jordan Reed does meet his demise, but not before blowing a few bullets in the abdomen of the henchman that Navarro sent to knock him off.
He did enough to get Navarro discovered, basically, and kind of threw me for a surprise. Like, I know there was a pool of blood surrounding him in the previous episode, but I thought he was going to somehow, you know, find enough in him to stay alive for someone to figure him out, someone to discover him. But clearly that wasn't the case.
And, you know, it wouldn't be the worst conclusion, Badway,
yeah.
Especially when you consider that a president was believed to have been taken out by a drone, a Hellfire missile... And they were able to bring him back to life. So you would imagine being stabbed in the chest once.
Yeah.
I mean, no big deal.
Could have missed the heart, missed the lung, you know, hit the shoulder. The guy was such a bad shot.
A superficial wound, yeah. Perhaps.
I mean, he winged him. Well, it was an initial shot that put him in the river. I mean, it's possible that he could have just stabbed him in the shoulder. I mean, we're not talking about the Jack Bauer level.
No. No. Not at all. So what were your impressions of this episode?
Well,
just generally high level.
Well... Overall, I thought it was a great episode. It was very, very entertaining. There's a lot of awesome quotes in this episode from a lot of our favorite characters. A lot of one-liners being thrown around. It was very action movie-esque. And another one of those episodes that I look by, it's the last commercial break, and I feel like I've been watching it for only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's another one of those. But I would have to say I'm a little disappointed about Heller being alive, if that makes any sense. I mean, I love me some Jimmy Heller, but I feel like the previous episode was so emotional, ending with Heller's death, and it kind of like, you know, it followed me afterwards there. But now that they brought him back, and oh, by the way, it was just on a loop, it kind of like, it cheapens the emotion of the previous episode.
They pulled the move from Speed.
They speeded him.
They pulled the move from Speed, the one that worked on Dennis Hopper,
yep.
Right? They looped it. Chloe was able to hack into the feed on the drone. Somehow they were able to loop it.
Yeah, they sped him. And also, we talked about the clock almost every episode in one way or another about how it's becoming less and less important. I feel in this episode, they completely disregarded the clock. They were still using it, but it kind of confused me as to how, like, how did they do that timing? Where did, like, to pull that video feed? Like, I feel like there wasn't enough time to do that.
Yeah. Here's another thing. And we're going to have to ask our friend Billy, who apparently has some intimate knowledge of the drone.
Sounds a little dirty.
The drone system, right?
Intimate knowledge.
Do all drones say target destroyed after they hit the target?
Well, in video games, yeah.
I mean, in video games, sure, but that's like coded in. Like, I can't imagine a Predator drone from 30,000 feet up can just say, oh, you killed him. Congratulations.
Yeah, success.
That's just got to be one of those knickknacks they add in to try and make it look more official.
Yeah.
My hunch is that drones don't actually do that. I agree with you. I think it cheapened the plot line a little bit.
Yeah. I loved the previous episode, where Heller's death episode, quote unquote, was one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. I know that's a little hard to believe. I mean, this season has been very good, but it's also been kind of not so much 24 as it is kind of its own entity. But it really was one of the most action-packed and emotional episodes in the history of the series, and it just completely erased that entire episode in the first 5 minutes of this right here episode.
I thought it was a good episode, though, and I agree with you. It went by very quickly. If anyone has DVR'd these episodes, and if you have them all on file, just go back and look at your archive of them. Remember how they talked about with the clock? Well, we're just going to skip ahead when we need to. They have not skipped ahead once.
No.
They are in perfect sequential order to this point. Just get rid of the clock altogether. Yeah. I don't need the clock anymore.
Yeah, the clock, it's useless. And there was a lot of... See, they didn't do this so much in other episodes of the season, but in this one, there was a lot of setting changes. Jack was in multiple places in the episode. Kate and Ritter were in multiple places. And it seems like... I'm not a stickler for realism here because it's a freaking TV show, and you know, they just looped Heller. They just faked the president's death here. I'm not picking hairs here. But the fact that they changed so many settings in such a small period of time, it's completely unbelievable. And I don't care, but it lends to the point of, who cares about the clock anymore? Let's just get on with it.
No, I think they'd be fine without the clock. I think the episodes have been really good, really solid. You look around the internet, they've received really high ratings, good reviews. I don't know what they're doing in terms of a national television audience, but on some level, I think it's done well. If they want to come back... We know that we want it to come back.
Please.
Of course, we're doing a podcast once a week about it, which is one of the reasons why. But we would love to see it come back.
Sure.
I think it's done well enough. We need to see where they take it now over the next couple hours. But I do like the episode. I want to get into some of the details here. Drew sent a laundry list of thoughts all the way from the beautiful honeymoon island of St. Lucia, which I want to get into. Before we do, though, we should tell the folks where they can interact with us. It's at Bauer Hour Pod on Twitter, BauerHourPod@gmail.com. We started getting more emails, which is nice. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Bauer Hour. And if you want to catch an archive of all of our old shows in beautiful sequential order, it is BauerHour.com. Let me read this email, Matt. Do you have something?
Well, if you're going through the archive, you bring up the archives. If you're new to the podcast or have only been catching up the past couple episodes, I strongly recommend the Wives and Girlfriends episode.
The Wags.
That's one of my favorites of all time. So I really feel if you want to go back, if you want to pick one episode of our podcast, if you can only pick one before the recaps of the season, check out the Wives and Girlfriends. I think you'll really enjoy that.
Wives and Girlfriends. All right. Well, let me get to this email from Drew. He says, guys, I had a little more time to put my thoughts out on paper, and email's better than an audio clip. By the way, he sent an audio clip, which is pretty cool.
I didn't get to listen to it. It didn't work for me at work.
This is dedication.
Yeah. I want to know, like, I want more detail as to this viewing party here. I want the size of the TV. I want the level of grain.
Yeah, well, okay. He says, hello from St. Lucia. Love the last episode of Bauer Hour. I miss you all almost as much as I miss Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida. I want to talk about Carlos Bernard here momentarily.
There's always room for Carlos.
He says, surprisingly, I was able to catch the last episode of 24 on the crappiest Fox channel possible. But my wife and I, he's throwing this word wife around very liberally now.
God, I'm not
sure how I feel about this.
I'm glad that she's his wife, but it's just a shock.
Right. No, I don't have a problem with the wife. I'm just the word is
the
what
word
I'm
is like,
to.
Wow, that's pretty official.
He said, I braved the storm and watched with crackling audio and distorted picture because of our dedication to the cause. Random thoughts now. Audrey wants herself some Jack Bauer.
Yeah, she does.
Did you or did you not love the phone call where he awkwardly had to hang up and answer a call from, quote, his old contact, which unfortunately was not Tony Almeida? So in a previous episode of the Bauer Hour, Bad Way, our dedication was the fallen marriage of the Boudreaux's, that it could not be long for this world. The call that Drew is talking about came shortly after news broke that, in fact, President Heller and Chloe O'Brien and Jack Bauer had one-upped Margot Alhazy and Ian Alhazy, that they had looped this video feed and that President Heller was, in fact, still alive. The call came from Audrey. She was thanking Jack for his heroic work in this area. She was pretty giddy in that phone call, wasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she couldn't contain her smile. I mean, like Jack said, there's a lot of people to thank for this operation, but she went out of her way. She was thinking nonstop about him, basically.
She was radiant.
She was, yeah.
Thinking about Jack
Bauer. She was brushing off Boudreaux, not in a mean way, but in a, like, I'm not even thinking about it, like, who are you anymore kind of way.
It reminded me a little bit of that scene in My Cousin Vinny. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Tons. My Cousin Vinny, where the guy's sort of coming at him because he wants to fight him for $200. Yeah. And Joe Pesci's character just dismissively keeps waving him off.
Right.
Like, whatever, don't care. Then he punches him in the head and steals the money. But it was almost that level of dismissiveness from Audrey.
But it's
I still call her Audrey Raines. I'm sorry.
It's all, yeah. It's involuntary. It's involuntary. She's not trying to shun him. It's just that Bauer's in town, baby.
So what do you think Mark Boudreaux does now? Because very clearly, Jack's going to come across as some hero. And he may have the opportunity, and I think they were doing a little bit of foreshadowing when they showed him looking at the signature on that transfer sheet.
They're setting up the next episode,
I mean, he's going to be put to a decision, either give him over to the Russians and or force him into exile again, or tear it up, work the diplomacy angle, and allow his current wife to be happy with Jack.
Well, now that this terrorist plot is said and done, I think Mark can get back to brass tacks and about how advancing his political career, and now obviously this comes back and he sees it right in front of him. The jealousy will start creeping back. I mean, he was Bauer's friend the previous hour, but now that everything's back to normal, he's going to start seeing that Audrey's getting a little bit too comfortable with Jack.
A little bit too comfortable.
Yeah. Like, as from the beginning of the season, as he once thought that he needs to shield her from seeing Bauer, now he needs to just block Bauer.
Yeah.
From just
he needs to unfriend Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
He needs to block him on Twitter.
So I think I'm pretty sure he's gonna go the sellout route. He's gonna try to bait Jack into some kind of trap, and possibly even, we haven't heard the word Alzheimer's in about an episode and a half. So
yeah,
I think we're gonna bring that back.
So do you think Boudreaux schedules his sexual appointments one by one, or does he have a recurring appointment on Audrey's calendar?
Oh no, there is no recurring appointment because I think Audrey wouldn't have that. I feel like it's almost like an obligation. And I feel like she would decline some of the scheduling,
Respond with tentative.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she would decline maybe five in a row and maybe get a little gun-shy. So then, like, out of pity, like, it's been 6 months, let's do this.
I wonder if she's changed any of the outstanding appointments to tentative now.
Yeah.
I feel like we could probably do that for her at this point.
Yeah. Like there's one on the calendar maybe 5 days from now. That's gone. Yeah.
It's now turned into a conflict on her calendar. Yeah. She's just scheduling purple time over it.
Yeah, that part of her schedule is blocked out.
Out of office.
Yeah. And now she's out of office. Yeah.
Drew also goes on to say that Jimmy Heller is a tough SOB, ready to die for the cause, but with the power of Chloe's Alienware laptop, she was able to spoof the video better than Keanu Reeves in Speed. Yeah. See, everyone knows the Speed joke.
And as well they should.
He says, coincidentally, Dennis Hopper was also Victor Drazen, which is very true. Yeah, we could talk about Heller all we want. We could talk about the Alzheimer's now. We'll see where that goes. Was the message delivered to the vice president?
Yeah, do you think he got excited for a minute? Like, holy shit, I'm going to be president.
Like, and it's what? Maybe the vice president's the one behind all this.
You still feel that we were talking about this before, that there is an unnamed man. So it's possible the president could be the vice president could be this unnamed man that's possibly behind some of this.
It could be the vice president. It could be a, I don't know, crooked former president in the form of Charles Logan, who, according to the 24 Wiki, is still alive.
Still alive. See, I looked that up real quick since we were talking about him.
Yeah.
And his last on screen act was not really on screen, it was behind closed doors. Gunshot. Possibly self-inflicted gun wound. But they never cleared it up. They never said if it hit, what it hit, and his demise. So he is still in play.
He is still in play because, listen, I go by the 24 Wiki. All right? I know we heard the gunshot. Yeah. I go by the 24 Wiki. If they say there was a gunshot...
They covered all... They went frame by frame.
They went frame by frame, and they worked shit out.
They were scouring newspapers on screenshots.
They were reading comic books and... You know, stalking Joel Surnow's house, whatever you got to do, they were doing it.
Yep.
They say he's alive, so I'm going to say it's a possibility. Also, Tony Almeida. Let's get back to Carlos Bernard.
You had
here.
To throw it out.
All right, we're at a point now with three episodes left where it's going to be really difficult to introduce a brand new character. I feel like if there is someone, if there is another man over top now, Adrian quintuplet, sextuplet.
Sextuplet Cross. We're at sextuplet at this point.
If there's a guy over Cross pulling the strings, it's going to be really hard to make it a brand new character that nobody knows about.
Yeah, you got to be able to jump right in.
So I'm thinking just because of that, it may have to be someone we already know.
It's got to be Almeida. It just has to, or else there is no justice in this world if it's not Almeida. It's probably not Almeida, but it's got to be Almeida.
If it's not Almeida, then who? Maybe it's Max, the guy from the boat. My biggest pet peeve, perhaps ever, about the series. Whatever happened to Max on the boat?
If they want to tie up loose ends, make it Max on the boat. If they're true to their word about tying up loose ends and giving this kind of an ending, Max on the boat is a great choice.
Max on the boat. Where's he at? I don't know. Just don't make it someone brand new, and I'll be all right with that.
Yeah. Before we move on, I'm talking about Heller. Old Jimmy Heller.
Yeah.
I love that little buddy-buddy interaction with our Serbian friend, Belcek. Mm. Was that a great little... Well, they could be friends, right?
I almost shot iced tea out my nose right there. Yeah, that was...
That was great.
You know, Heller's an interesting cat.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I mean, he... As Drew said, he is a tough SOB. But, you know, if you play hardball back with him, he's buddy-buddy with you. And Jack's Serbian friend, what's his name?
Belichick.
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 Oh, that's right.
He goes one word, like Madonna. Belichick.
How about like the coach?
Yeah.
Belichick.
He's not American. He doesn't watch American football, as he pointed out.
Bill Belichick, Jack's Serbian friend, not at all impressed with President Heller.
Turn this car around. I am the president of the United States, damn it.
And I just gave you a direct order. What's Belichick say? I'm not an American.
I'm not an American. Basically,
kiss
my ass.
He just got man.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, Heller, he put a little smirk on. He's like, all right, you got me there.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't like you, but you got a point.
Yep.
So, President Heller, one tough SOB, somehow escapes. Initially, when he's getting in the car with Belichick, sort of plays that move like he's gonna be against Jack Bauer now, miraculously, like, oh, the guy saved my life, but I still hate his guts.
I mean, Jack told him exactly what to do, and like a puppy, he just put his head down and went in the car. But as soon as Bauer was away, he's like, all right, now that daddy's gone,
yeah,
take me where I want to go.
All is well. All is gonna be well. Heller, Jack, they're all gonna be on speaking terms. They're gonna have to be because he's going to be Audrey's, you know, new husband at some point in the next 5 years, you got to say. I'm thinking.
So, all right, if we're going to make odds of a kiss between Audrey and Jack, at least a kiss by the end of the last episode, is it like what? Is it 1-2? Is it...
Wow. I don't think you can go quite as low as even money. I still think there's a chance. I still think there's a chance that maybe they could ship him away or something happens before. I think they want the kiss to happen.
Yeah.
I think they're building towards the kiss, but I there's definitely a possibility here that something could happen and it just never happens. Oh, so I maybe 3-1.
If it was anything less than even money, I'd put the house on it.
Yeah, I'd say 3-1.
It's going down.
Somewhere like 3-1. All right, where are we at here? Talked about Heller. Talked about him being tough. Let's talk about the Al-Harazis.
Ooh.
What happened to the Al-Harazis this episode, just for reference?
They went for a little ride.
Learned to fly?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, Ian Al-Harazi puts to it...
Pretty quick.
I mean, come on.
Hey, he's a good eye, right?
It was one of the old tropes in any, like, action movie, any spy thriller. Enhance the photo.
Enhance
the photo. He's able to enhance the photo. Yep. He notices, like, 2 drop frames. I didn't even know. It took
little
me,
glitch.
Like, I was watching it a little bit later. I didn't watch it in real time. But it took me, like, a few rewinds to figure out what the hell he was even talking about there. Like, what's he seeing? I didn't even see it.
Look back, look forward. And it's the same. Keanu Reeves did the same thing.
It's
the loop.
The same.
So Keanu Reeves was at the front of the bus, and he turns his head, and it flips back real quick. And he turns his head, and it flips back. It's the same exact move.
How did Chloe do it that quickly?
That's what I'm saying about the clock. It's impossible.
iMovie? What's she using to do this?
And how did they get the video from there to her to upload it? I don't even know how the technology works. I have no idea. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I would need to know a little bit more about how they were able to loop that feed before I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to accept it because we got to move on. But I will say though, I mean, props to Ian for enjoying his work. I mean, if they would have just accepted, you know, Heller's death, they won.
We got him.
Let's shut everything down. All right, all the drones are gone. Let's pack up and get the hell out of here. No, kept watching that replay. And if you watch the replay enough, then you do find the glitch. He was smelling himself a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? They downed 5 of the drones.
Yep.
Because they did believe it until Ian found that there were a couple drop frames. They immediately are incensed by this.
Oh.
Margot Al-Harazi is beside herself. He tricked me. You know, what a liar Heller is.
I pulled a quote out. I should have known better than to trust a liar like Heller.
That's right. That was a good Margot accent there, by the way.
Thank you.
The Al-Harazis are incensed by this coward move.
It really kind of was a coward move. I mean, he did lie. They were going to quit, too. They were going to quit.
I would have lied.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got some way to get out of that.
Sure. I mean, it was the 11th hour, for sure.
What did amaze me a little bit, though, there was that twinge, and I talked about this a few minutes ago, but there was that twinge in Heller's voice after learning that he had been saved and that the threat was no longer imminent against him. He pulled that Lieutenant Dan move from Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he did.
Where he's like supposed to die for his country and feels shame that Gump rescued him.
Yeah.
What's with that?
He was ready. Because he mentally prepared himself for this moment. He was ready to go. He knows what's ahead of him. He wasn't lying when he told Jack in the previous episode that, you know, this next year is going to be hell for me. I'm going to go through this. I have Alzheimer's. It's only going to get worse. And that was him making peace with his life and his accomplishments, his daughter, his life, his presidency himself. And it snatched away. Like it was his legacy, just like Lieutenant Dan, it was his legacy.
I guess, but whatever. Drew writes about the Al-Harazis. He didn't think that they would do it this early, but we cheered hard when Ian went flailing out the window, shortly followed by Mommy Margot. I love the line Jack said before he tossed her out, and you see the stunt dummy hitting the ground. Maybe it was all CGI. Who knows? But he enjoyed seeing something hit the ground when it was Margot. Pretty slick move by Jack. So let me set the table a little bit here. Here's how they got the Al-Harazis. So let's back up a little bit. They find out that President Heller duped them. They're incensed. They're going to send a drone towards a train station and blow it up.
Waterloo.
Right. Waterloo Station. Going to get blown to smithereens. he will see the destruction firsthand, the loss of life. Heller, you're gonna rue the day you crossed us.
We're not gonna kill you anymore. We want you to see what you did.
Meanwhile, Chloe O'Brien's tracking the drone. She's hacked into the feed. Ian, he can't get her out of the feed. He knows that they're watching. Chloe's going to try and use this. She has forwarded this on to the Royal Air Force or whatever.
And talk about one hand behind your back. She's still at that pub.
Still at the pub. Still at happy
Just
hour.
Taking Ian to school.
No big deal. She's in the system. She's in his head. They're trying to find this drone before it can inflict any more damage on London. Meanwhile, while they're trying to do this coordination and take out the drone, Chloe's also working on some GPS tricks.
Oh, yeah.
To figure out where the Al-Harazis might be located.
Triangulating the signal.
She calls Adrian quintuple sextuple cross. Who, by the way, has the easiest GPS program to operate in the universe.
He's like, oh, I've been working on a little something here. Let me try it out for you.
Right.
Boop, boop, boop. Here she is.
He has the location within a matter of seconds.
Yep.
They're eventually able to figure out exactly what floor everyone's located on. Jack Bauer goes up a floor, rips a wire off the ceiling somehow, and rappels down into certain doom. Throws Ian Al-Harazi from a window. No big deal.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go for the, because they had Ian kind of creeping up slow on it. I thought they were going to go with the pop shotgun.
Yeah.
But
No. Pulls his arm straight down, bloodied head on the pavement.
Throwing out the window is a much better move.
Storms the premises, shoots Margot. Margot's got a bunch of what amounts to just, hollow talk.
Yeah, she's just screaming because she knows she's beat. And she's just inconsolable at this point.
Jack ties her up. She's not a factor. He takes control of the drone, steers the missile that it had fired to safety, crashes it into, is it the Thames River?
Yeah, I don't know rivers. I don't know. I'm bad with geography. But it was funny at the ease in which he did it and the dominance that he showed where he had Margot in one hand and steering the drone in the other hand. The ultimate power move.
Using the Microsoft Sidewinder Pro joystick.
Yeah.
He steers the missile from killing anyone, crashes it somewhere in a body of water, unnamed body of water.
Almost maybe. There was a tour yacht there.
Yeah,
almost hit the yacht
boat.
Yeah,
something out there.
Yeah,
he steers it to safety. Says something to Margo, and then proceeds to throw her out the window.
She tells him, "All the deaths will be on your hands," and he says, "The only death on my hands is yours." Bam. Throws her straight out the window. One of the more brutal deaths.
Yeah.
In 24.
You think Jack's a changed man because of this? Because of what he's had to endure over the last couple of years?
Well, yeah. I mean, he talks about just hating these people to Kate when Simone was in the bed there. And I think, when Renee was assassinated basically in front of him, it really changed him. And then he went on that murderous rampage against the Russians in Day 8. This is who he is now. And that's why when he told Heller, I don't want a presidential pardon, because there's no room for him in society in his mind at this point. He's forever changed.
Although maybe he knows about that pardon now. And he's trying to live it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My question to you is real quick. Say they didn't find the glitch, the loop, right?
Yeah.
They think they kill Heller. They pack it up. They go home. And then a month later, they catch Heller on CNN.
Yeah.
Do they try again? Do they rehatch a new plot? What do they do? I guess they still have the override device.
True.
So, the U.S. is almost lucky that he was so vain and looking at his work, finding out it was a glitch. There could have been a whole new terrorist plot basically tomorrow once they saw Heller on the news.
Dobson override 2.0. Still in play, by the way. We'll get to that here.
Very much in play.
Get to that here momentarily. We do need to mention that Eric Ritter made a comeback in this episode.
Love me some Eric Ritter.
Was I the only one? And I'm guessing I wasn't here because I'm seeing it in Drew's email. He says, I'll read, quote, "By the way, Eric Ritter showing up and more bad things happening. I'm convinced that all of his lines are actually questions. Where are we going? Where's Jordan? Where's your phone? And it's evident that Navarro's in over his head. All right, we'll get to Navarro here momentarily. Let's talk about Eric Ritter, because Eric Ritter has long been the, you know, the pinata on this show. We're not fans of Eric Ritter. He made a triumphant return.
He did.
In episode 9 here, becoming the unlikely ally for one Kate Morgan.
Right. They've tried this before, and he was an utter failure.
So you see Eric Ritter. You know he's going out in the field. Was there any doubt in your mind that shit was going to go down and something bad was going to happen?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a magnet for just things going awry. And, well, you listen to the show, you know that I'm, like, the number one hater of Eric Ritter. But he actually didn't do so bad this episode. He actually held his own. I mean, yeah, things still fouled up around him, but it wasn't his fault. Yeah, he has no lines, and yeah, Drew's right. His only lines are questions. He has no clue what's going on. I don't know how they expected him to be a leader before this all went down. And I'm sure Kate was pissed when he found out that she was being paired with Ritter again, when Navarro told him, all right, Ritter and Kate, you go. And Kate was probably like, damn it. But he had some sweet moves. He came back with a vengeance. He actually pegged a few people. Yeah, you know, he wasn't a complete bust out there.
He went Terry Tate office linebacker on a guy.
He did.
When he shoulder charged him, yeah. Was that guy shooting at him?
He was loading too.
The guy had a gun. Yeah. Instead of just popping him, he goes Terry Tate office linebacker.
Yep.
Shoulder charge through a glass
through
door.
A glass window. Bam.
Door window. Bam. Whatever. A pane of unfettered glass shattered by Eric Ritter. Shoulder charging one of the henchmen right through it.
And the first thing that got me to stand up and cheer Eric Ritter, his triumphant return, actually his first positive influence on this entire show, was when he pulled up on the SUV. He's driving, he's on the right-hand side, sees the dudes with the guns pulling up at Margo's hideout. He pulled a parking e-brake slide move pop shot, one-shot kill. It's pretty badass. He's back.
He is back. Yeah, in a very big way.
I give him passing marks on this episode, even though if he just shut his mouth, that'd be great, because he doesn't know what's going on.
What we're going to see now with Navarro's slow descension into uncertain doom, you could see where things are going with Navarro. All right. Ritter and Kate Morgan are going to become unlikely allies, because Ritter, despite the fact that he still is a bitch...
He's a bitch.
All right. Won some points back this episode, but still a bitch.
A long
Despite
way to go.
That, you know he's at least trustworthy.
Yeah.
All right. He's not exactly going to, like, abandon Kate and seek out personal gain.
He has no brains, but you can count on him to at least try. I guess that's worth something.
So I think Ritter's going to be in each episode moving forward.
He has to be, because they lost their other contact in Navarro. So
in what capacity, we don't know. But Steve Navarro is on the lam. Steve Navarro talked to Adrian Sextuplet Cross. Adrian Sextuplet Cross, as Drew writes here, is like the scummy old man hitting in a lost soul. He reminds me of Mr. Mack from Boy Meets World, and he's recruiting Sean Hunter in Chloe O'Brien. I wonder if he really is the big bad guy, or whether he is true when he says that he's just the middleman. Could he be working with Tony Almeida? Let's hope not. Yeah. I will point out that Cross wants the override device that appears to be his price to help Steve Navarro get out of Dodge. Oh, by the way, Tony Almeida, the last person on 24 to use some type of override device. Maybe Almeida, was none too pleased with the quality of the Dobson device and now wants to use a different one.
Yeah, he's...
to try and exact revenge on the United States.
Maybe he's had an eye on an override device this whole time.
You know,
it's
maybe
a great segue
on,
into the you know his appearance on the show.
He's been on eBay, Craigslist... trying to find some sort of override device. He now has one.
Well, we would love it to be Almeida, but
I don't want it to be Almeida.
Probably not
Almeida.
I don't care what Almeida does. If he's got to be the bad guy, let him be the bad guy. I just want to see him for fan service. But when you talk about Cross, I think it's becoming clear that he's probably the smartest guy on the show, other than you could say Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
I feel like this was his end game all along. He knew about the Yahurazi plan, I feel. And his eyes were on that override device because he knew that what's-his-face in episode one was working on it. What's his name? I forget his name already.
Derek Yates?
Derek Yates.
Yeah.
He was a former guy of Adrian Cross. He knew Derek Yates was working on a special project. He knew where it was going. And his end game was to get this Dobson override device 2.0 in his possession. And I feel like he's not the middleman, like he says. He is the man. And this, I feel like he is going to be the big bad going forward.
It's very possible. Here's the better question, though. Is Chloe in on this?
I don't think so.
Let me back up. Here's where we're at. Chloe O'Brien helps Jack. She finds Margot Alharazi. Jack Bauer gives her a call. It appears as if he's trying to set up some sort of rendezvous, right? To, you know, let's meet up and go over what happened, or
yeah,
give me this, give me that. Chloe O'Brien gracefully declines.
It was, I had a lump in my throat in that conversation, man.
It was good to see.
It was good to see you.
It was good to see you, Jack. I hope you're able to see your family again.
Oh.
I gotta go. Bye.
Tugging at the heartstrings.
Hangs up on him. Proceeds to go in a car. And kiss.
Yep.
Give him Adrian
smooch.
Cross.
Where are we going? Gotta see a guy first.
Now, do you think that was indicative of her being in on something with Cross? Or just her having really bad taste in men?
Yeah, I mean, the kiss makes it that much worse. But, I mean, you could be oblivious to what your man's doing if you're Chloe. But, you know, I didn't really think about Chloe as a possible villain until you just brought it up right now.
It would be different. I don't know how I'd feel about that.
The way she felt conflicted about telling Jack goodbye. Maybe it was her fighting with her demons. Maybe it was her. Maybe they weren't even demons. Maybe they were just, this is my life now. I'm with Cross. We're still going to fight the cause that she thinks she's fighting. But it could very well be her literally and figuratively in bed with Adrian Cross in his plan.
I want to believe that she doesn't know.
I don't think she knows. And if she does know, she would definitely turn over the leaf by the end of the series, I would think. She wouldn't go through with it all the way.
I want to believe that she doesn't know, but, you know, that remains to be seen.
Unless her helping Jack finding the Alharazis, knowing they have the override device, is the end to the means of getting the Dobson device.
It's very possible. So, okay.
It all fits.
He's after the override device, Adrian Cross is. And on the teaser, they showed a nuclear sub firing a torpedo.
Got to be a nuke in there somewhere.
I mean, something's going down. There's always a nuke.
There's always a nuke.
Always a possibility for a nuke.
By land or by sea, there's always a nuke.
Where does this leave us now? It leaves Steve Navarro on the run. Steve Navarro puts a guy in a sleeper hold.
Oh, it was a good sleeper hold, too.
In, like, a fortress of a building.
Yeah.
CIA black site. Puts some dude in a sleeper hold, steals the override device, runs out. Jack Bauer shooting at him. I'll give this to Benjamin Bratt, as someone tweeted us, I believe.
Yeah.
He's pretty fleet of foot.
He was quick. He had a little arms flailing. I tweeted on there. He kind of runs like a girl, no offense.
Right.
But he is fast.
He's running in dress shoes, though.
With those dress shoes, too.
Yes. Not easy to run in dress shoes.
In his man purse.
Running
with
in
the override
tips.
Device.
He's got the override device. He's trying to get out of Dodge. He's setting up a meeting with Cross. That's where we're at. Jack Bauer has not caught up to him yet. He will catch up to him.
Yeah.
If Jack doesn't catch up to Navarro first, death most certainly will.
Oh, he's a goner.
This goes without saying. He's not a strong bad guy. He's really just doing this to try and save face and get out of Dodge before the authorities catch up to him.
We've seen Navarro's characteristics throughout these last couple episodes of him being bad. He's not one to last long in jail, I feel. So, between getting caught,
I mean,
going
he's a
down,
pretty boy with
yeah,
that hair.
Yeah,
guys like that don't do well in federal prison.
And it's clear that he has some reservations about all of this, including even sending Jordan out initially. He's not going to last very long in federal prison. So, I feel like he's an all or nothing kind of guy. He's either going to get away or he's going down. And he's definitely not getting away. Bauer's not going to have that.
I don't think that Navarro has any chance without Adrian Cross. And Adrian Cross, because of the nickname now that we've given him, might lend someone to believe that, oh, he's not trustworthy. How about that?
Yep.
Can't trust the hacker.
Oh.
Never would have guessed.
Yep. Who knew?
So who knows if he's going to cross someone else up and if Navarro's going to have any kind of respite whatsoever.
Yeah. The Cross would sell him out immediately after handing over that device.
Does not look good for Steve Navarro. Again, in next episode, it would appear as if there is some conflict with Chloe, would appear as if there's something going on with the submarine, would appear at the very least like Adrian Cross does come into possession of this Dobson Override Device 2.0.
Boy, no. Real quick before we move on about the Navarro chase scene. Once again, Jack Bauer knocking some poor security guy the F out.
Paul Blart Mall Cop has not been very long for this season of 24.
He said, "Don't you make a sound or I will kill you." 1 second later, takes a right cross
just
straight to the chin.
Cocks him.
Guy goes down immediately. And I mean, there's been a lot of, like, Bauer's a great shot and he pulls some ridiculous stunts, but there's been more than a few occasions of him just knocking people the F out with a punch, with one punch.
I feel like I'd almost rather he does the pistol whip thing. You know, he's done that multiple times over the course of the series.
But I feel like there's only been one pistol whip in the season, and multiple just rights to the chin.
He's getting his hands dirty.
Yeah. He's loving it, too.
He's getting his hands dirty this season, for sure. What else do we got here?
Oh, what are we missing? Are we missing anything?
I mean, I'm sure there's something big we're missing. Let's go back to Mark Boudreau for a second. I got to talk about Mark Boudreau, because it wasn't a big episode for Boudreau.
No, his time to shine will be definitely next episode with the Russians.
Where do you think he goes with things?
I feel like he's going to pull the Alzheimer's card. That's his play. Yeah. I feel like he can't. How could he trick Bauer into handing himself over to the Russians? Like he can't really. I feel like Bauer wouldn't fall for it. Like, how would he move Bauer in a situation where the Russians could grab him if he's going to do the sly-handed route? I feel like there's no way Bauer would fall for it.
I just don't know, man.
I feel like there has to be some calling the president into question. Look, you signed this, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
if he got that signature right, I mean, he has to know the president's signature, as long as it looks right.
I just don't know. I don't know. He's got an opportunity here to get rid of Jack Bauer. Will he take it?
If he tries, he's going to fail miserably. Obviously, we know he's going to fail, but I feel like there's nothing he could get even off the ground. Like, what could he do from his chair?
I also like the fact that Jack Bauer has now just implanted himself with the good guys.
Yep.
He's using computers, like, doesn't need to learn, like, protocols or logins or anything like that.
No.
Like, he just jumps on a computer, makes himself at home.
Yeah, I mean, he's got everybody's contact in a cell already. I mean, he's telling people in the CIA what to do. He's directing everyone. Everybody's like, yeah, it's Jack Bauer, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Kate Morgan going to play a leading role over the last couple episodes for sure. Hopefully Eric Ritter won't, but if he is going to be prominent in the next few episodes, hopefully he'll be more like the Ritter we saw in episode 9 than the one we saw in maybe episode 5.
So, yeah. Pre-building explosion Ritter.
Pre-building explosion Ritter, pre-on the men Ritter.
Yeah, I mean, when he was on the men, he had some time to knock the cobwebs out and kind of get his head in the game here. He's got his career on the line.
What if the bad guy's Audrey?
You know what? I saw that. I saw somebody hypothesize that. I think it's absolutely ludicrous.
I mean, it's completely ludicrous. But if they really want to kill the show, they can make it.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to jump the shark, go right ahead and make Audrey the bad guy. Sure.
That would be something.
I'm in for anything, really.
I would throw my hands up in dismay if it were her.
I'm in for anything. Go ahead. Give me all you got. Give me Audrey. Is Heller in on it at the end? Maybe Heller's in on it. I'll give me anybody.
Heller?
I'm all for it.
Is Wayne Palmer still alive?
Yeah, is Wayne Palmer in on it? Let's get Wayne in there.
Is there a crooked VP? Can we get someone else in on this?
Where's Noah Daniels at?
Noah Daniels, sure.
No, well, there's no way, Audrey. No way. I would give it a 0.0% chance.
All right. Well, look. we're going to have Drew back next week. Big thanks to him for writing in. It doesn't seem like it was too much of an imposition because this is a rather long email. I try to pick out some points. He also says here in fitting fashion that if the cardigan goes on sale on thegoldencloset.com, he'll graciously accept it as a wedding present. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's under a grand, it's a must buy.
The President Heller presidential cardigan.
Yeah, you hear that, Golden Closet? If you're listening, get that cardigan. We will pay up to and including $1,000. That's a sale.
That's right.
So
we'll do it.
Just get all that.
Our own money in all pennies.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, we'll send some rolls over or even unrolled.
All
just
right.
Weigh it.
Parting shot, Mr. Badway. Again, it's Bauer Hour Pod on Twitter, BauerHourPod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BauerHour and BauerHour.com if you want to check in on all the old episodes. Maybe find a link to the iTunes page. Maybe give us a review or two. By all means, tell your friends. Every little bit helps.
5 stars.
Parting shot, Badway. Where is this going now, next episode, and for the remainder of the season?
I feel like we're going to solidify Adrian Cross as the big bad, the final boss of 24 Live Another Day. They're not going to bring a new person in for the big boss purposes, I feel. I feel like we're going to flush that character out. He's too big of an actor to just have these bit parts throughout the season as he has been. He's been important, but he's been in the shadows, and rightfully so. I feel like now they're going to unleash him. And we're going to reveal his master plan.
I say Chloe's not in on it. She's just fallen for a very creepy man.
She's confused.
She's on the rebound. Morris and her son, no longer with us. She's not in her gourd. She's wearing way too much eye makeup, which I just can't stand.
She keeps refreshing, too.
Are you still digging?
Sure.
I mean, Chloe?
She keeps touching herself up in that. You know, she's going to the bathroom, makes in the pub, but I mean, she's looking good to me.
Looking good to you?
I haven't been a Chloe fan as far as sexual attraction goes, but this season, I'm all about goth girls. I'm not really into goth girls either.
It's moving a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not even into goth girls normally. It's Chloe. It's Chloe.
Chloe's not in on it. Chloe's going to end up being the computer hero in this one, because she'll find out what Adrian Cross is up to.
She'll be disgusted when she finds out.
She'll find some way to work again with Jack. And get things on the up and up. Cross, I still believe, is working with some higher up.
We're split on this. Okay, we'll find out. We will find out. I'm in no way guaranteeing it. I could see it happening, so we'll see. I'm excited to see it.
I believe it's someone from a previous season, someone who doesn't need as much introduction.
I agree with you on that. If it is somebody, it will be a familiar face.
I believe Audrey and Mark Boudreau are not long for marriage. We've known this for a while. I think it was more evident than ever.
Yep.
And I do believe that Mark Boudreau is going to try and pull a fast one and get him shipped off to the Russians.
Well,
I think it's going to happen. I don't think anything ends happily ever after for Jack.
No. So you think he's going under the board or over as far as getting Jack?
Ooh.
Is he going to use Heller as Alzheimer's, or is he going to try to sneak Bauer away?
I think maybe he uses Heller to do it.
I think
maybe it's one of those deals where, hey, meet me at this location. We need to talk. And when he gets there, it's the Russians. Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe he uses Audrey. Meet Audrey and I. We're going to hash this thing out. And then bam.
Who knows? Maybe it's Yuri Subarov behind the whole thing.
Hey.
It's going to be somebody like that. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, for downloading the Bauer Hour podcast. One more time, it is BauerHour.com. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Send us an email at BauerHourPod@gmail.com. As we already mentioned, Mr. Drew coming back next week. We eagerly await his return to talk more 24 with him. Badway, always fun to be here with you. It's always good.
Yeah, it's great doing it with you, but, you know, can't wait to have our third wheel in here. Let's do it.
My name is Ty. We'll be back again next week. Same time, same place. Talk a little bit more about 24 with you. Thanks again for downloading. In the meantime,
beep, 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 beep.